Welcome to Church of the Living Word, featuring Senior Pastor Audie Claremont.
Say, I'm loving with God's help. Amen. We're full of love. Anyway, you know what? None of the gifts of the Spirit operate. It says, in fact, Paul in Corinthians 12 talks about operating in the gifts, different gifts. And then 14 talks about operating in different gifts. And then 13 sandwiched right in between. And we call it the love chapter, but Paul was really talking about the Corinthian church that were using the gifts and misusing the gifts of the Spirit because they weren't walking in love. So faith worketh by love. Faith works by love. So everybody have an outline. Everybody got one. All right. So let's continue on in Living the Life of Love, Part 3. So how many can say this week I lived the life of love? Or how many can say I messed up? Honey, did I? Oh, she's not in here, so she can't. I can't say anything. I was going to ask her, did I mess up? She'd go, yeah. But living the life of love. So let's look at this. Now, when Paul wrote, well, let's read this, 1 Corinthians. It says, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. Okay? So we're taking three of these again. So when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13, 1, he was talking about super spiritual people in Corinth who boasted of how great they were spiritual, how spiritual they were. And you know, he was talking about how little love they had in their lives. He said they were like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Now, if you look up the word sounding brass or the tinkling cymbal, thank you. Here's what it means. These scriptures are talking about people that are they talk incessantly. They're annoying, they're aggravating others with their never-ending self-consumed chatter. And you've never met people like that. In fact, the words tinkling cymbal were the very same Greek words. Now get this is neat. Used to depict clashing of cymbals that it talked about the onset of war. So when you get around these people long enough, it gives the impression of ceaseless talking and bragging of these super spirituals. And a lot of times it made the listeners mad. It was like, man, it was like you wanted to go to war and deal with this person or just say, hey, why don't you just keep shut? Let me ask you, how many have ever met someone like this in your past or you've met somebody like this? I mean, and we're going to talk about three things that Paul really talked about in here, okay? But they were super spiritual. And they were going to let you know how spiritual they were. And I'll tell you what, a lot of times when they present themselves the way they're really not as spiritual as you think they are. They may talk it, but they're not walking it, okay? Write this down. Number one, love. Charity vaunteth not itself. The word comes from the Greek word perperuoami, okay? It means a lot of self-talk, a braggart. That's what that word means. A lot of self-talk, a braggart. Now, have you ever met people that all they did was just brag, 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 you know? Yeah. Okay? The Passion says, love does not brag about one's achievements, nor inflate its own importance. It doesn't go around, love doesn't go around and let everybody know how important it is. There's nothing wrong with feeling accomplishment and achievement. There's nothing wrong with that, people. That's not what I'm saying. But it's when a person has to set himself on a pedestal all the time and brag about themselves in order to look good. In other words, it describes a person who endlessly promotes him or herself, and they exaggerate their own worth. Their self-promotion is so extreme that they usually are prone to exaggeration and it borders on lying. It really borders on lying, okay? The word vaunteth pictures a person, put it this way, is full of hot air. And I know that you have one time in your life said, man, that person's just full of hot air. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 12. However, if I were to boast, and if anybody had anything to boast about, it was Paul, okay? If I were to boast, it wouldn't be ridiculous at all, for I would be speaking the truth. Now, I want you to catch this. Yet I will refrain. Let others think higher of me than what I demonstrate with my life and teaching. Lest others think, okay? So what Paul was saying was this. You know, I have a lot to boast about. And Paul boasted in the Lord. There's nothing wrong with boasting on Jesus or boasting in the Lord. But Paul said this, you know what? I have every reason to boast, and it would be truth. I'm not going to sit there and hinge on exaggeration and lies. But he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to refrain from doing that because lest you think higher of me than I demonstrate with my life and teaching. So basically what Paul was saying is, you better walk the walk before you talk the talk. Okay? So love doesn't go around talking about itself all the time, constantly exaggerating and embellishing the facts to make it look more important in the sight of others. That's what he's talking about. Sometimes when we see people like this coming our direction, immediately we begin to look for a way of escape. Have you ever seen somebody coming? God forgive us. You're in the supermarket or the store and you see a person coming that you just going, I don't want to get into this. I just don't want to go down this road because you will be there for the next 2 hours of this person telling you how good they are and how their accomplishments and achievements, and you can't get away. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, you're not going to say a word. You're just going to say, uh-huh. Okay? All right. So, this person, but we know that once this person, they get a hold of us, they're going to start talking endlessly about themselves, their projects, their ideas, their accomplishments. And listen, people, there's nothing wrong with this. But there's a difference between a heart that's boasting to the Lord and one that's boasting about self. Total difference. The problem is these people don't seem to be aware how full of self they really are. These people need to recognize the fact that there are other hardworking people than themselves that are high achievers in the kingdom of God besides them. There's other people. And the thing is, they have a total lack of concern for others. And they have a fixation with themselves and have become offensive and repellent to nearly everyone who knows them. That's like when you see them come and you go the other way. I've done it. I'm guilty. I see a person, I don't want to go down this road. I just don't want to go down this road. And you find yourself going a different way. And then you get caught. You're going out of the store and all of a sudden, hey! Oh, my. Okay. I'll be here for a while. Like I said, and it's not every person, but there's certain people that this is what Paul's talking about. He's talking about this. Often people exaggerate and they boast endlessly because they have hidden agendas and want to promote or because they want to gain some higher position or place of authority. It'll happen. They will tell you and sell you how good they are, how spiritual they are, and that they're looking for a position, a higher place. And you know what Paul said? Prove them. Prove them. Well, I got a job for you. I need you to go into the bathroom and scrub the toilets and scrub the floor. You know, that's what they did to me as a youth pastor in Kentucky. First thing they did. And the board member told me later on, he just wanted to find out what I was made of. I went in there. I took a mop bucket. I went in there and scrubbed that bathroom as clean as I could. And that's what I did. I cleaned the bathroom. Now, if his motive was wrong for the way he did it, he'd have to answer to God anyway. But I did it. I said, yeah, I'll go do it. I'll go do it. I wasn't too spiritual enough that I couldn't do it. But here you see that other times they're hoping to make a kind of impression that might give them special status or recognition in the eyes of others. How many have ever had people on your job that where you work, there's that one person that is always promoting themselves because they want to get a position? Come on. Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes they hire these people. And they're left going, why did I do this? I've got now more of a mess than I have of anything. And it happens. They may just feel driven to prove their worth. Regardless of the reason that people boast about themselves, this kind of behavior does not demonstrate the way of agape love. It doesn't behave like that. Listen, agape love is so strong, so sure, and so confident that it doesn't need to speak of itself or its accomplishments, even if those accomplishments are greater than anyone else's. That's agape love. Real agape love would never flaunt itself in this way. Instead, agape love wants to focus on the accomplishments of others in order to build them up and make them feel more valuable and secure. Remember, write this down. Agape isn't a self-focused love. It is focused on giving of itself in order to meet the other people's needs. Amen. Aim to live all others. Aim to live an others-focused life. The happiest life is one focused on loving and serving others. Amen. Amen. Number two, write this down. The second one Paul talked about is charity is not puffed up. Puffed up. How many have ever gotten a hold of a puffer fish? You know how they protect themselves? They puff up. I've seen it. When I was in Thailand and I was on one of the islands over there, the kids would go get these puffer fish and they were like playing basketball, throwing them back and forth at each other on land. And I'm thinking, wow, they're poisonous. But anyway, a puffer fish, to protect itself, will just blow up like a basketball. And the fish can't get their teeth on them, and they just leave them alone. So the Greek word here is phusio, which means to be proud, to be swollen, or to be inflated. I wonder if that's where they got it from, the puffer fish. It paints a picture of a person who is filled with pride. Paul warns that agape love is never puffed up. This means agape love is never deceived into thinking too highly of itself, nor does it arrogantly claim that it's better than others. Okay? The word also carries people the notion of a person who has an air of superiority and haughtiness, or a person who is snooty or snobbish in his dealings with other people. You ever met them? They're very snobbish, they're snooty in how they deal with people. We can't do that. We can't be like that. Our love is different. And oh boy, I worked with people like that in the construction field. And you know, when I was working in the construction field, it was like, God, I know you're trying to teach me love here because I'm going to need a lot of it. And I'll tell you what, there was days that love wasn't growing too good in me and flowing. How many know what I'm talking about? I know you've never been there, okay? So that's when I had to pray, Lord, give me your love. Help me to love this arrogant person that I'm dealing with. Now, Paul uses the word puffed up in a lot of different scriptures. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:6. It says, that none of you may be puffed up and inflated with pride and boast in favor of one minister or teacher against another. Well, I'm of Apollos. Well, I'm of Paul. Well, I'm of Jesus. And Paul goes, since when am I divided? And they were bragging and puffed up with pride that, hey, you know what? I sat under Paul. Who'd you sit under? Well, I sat under Apollos. Who did you sit under? Well, I sit under Jesus. Who do you sit under? Amen. Paul was talking about the pride and the arrogance that was developing between the wrangling members in the Christian Corinthian church, each of whom believed that his or her particular leader was more important than the other leaders. You know what? They're all in the kingdom together. They're in the kingdom together. We pray and we thank God for pastors of every denomination, every background. I am for them. I'm behind them. We don't have to agree on everything, but we do agree on one thing. Jesus is Lord, and the kingdom is the kingdom. And so these people will just be at retaliation between each other because one was under Paul. Well, Paul is better than Apollos. And this warfare went on in the Corinthian church. Now look at 1 Corinthians 4:19. But I will come to you quickly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. Let me illustrate it in this way. The ERV says, then I will see if these proud talkers have the power to do anything more than talk. Amen? Paul gets on him and says, hey, put the power where your mouth is. The Passion says, I'll find out not only what these arrogant ones are saying, but also if they have power to back up their words. So Paul says, I don't come with enticing words, but with the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul came with the power and the anointing and did miracles, signs, and wonders. That was what Paul did. He backed it up by the Holy Spirit. He didn't have to boast or have pride and be puffed up. Paul warns these believers to change their behavior, otherwise he's going to come and rebuke those that are full of pride or puffed up. This arrogance involving leadership was the primary source of division, contention, and rivalry in the Corinthian church. You talk about splits and division in the church, this is exactly what Paul was talking about. People got full of pride, and they got puffed up, and they got arrogant. And they began to rival against each other who was more important in the kingdom and the body. The disciples tried that with, the mothers tried that with the boys. James and John. Mama come up, Jesus, and said, you know, I'm asking you, Jesus, that when you get in your kingdom, that one will be on one side and one will be on the other side. Jesus said, that's not for mine to give. But for the Father in heaven to give that. And so we see the rivalry that's happened. So Paul used the words puffed up again. Look at 1 Corinthians 5:2. And you are puffed up and have not rather grieved, so that he who did this deed would be removed from your midst. Now, after boldly confronting the Corinthian church for tolerating a gross, immoral situation in among its members, Paul was amazed. He expresses his amazement that they could be puffed up in the light of the ungodly relationship that was thriving right before their eyes. What was happening is a guy was having sex with his father's wife, his stepmother. And they let it go on in the church, and they let it go on, and nobody did anything. And Paul came in, and he said, are you puffed up and full of pride and arrogancy that you would allow this to happen? He said, remove this man from the church. Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And so pride will come over top of really doing what we're supposed to do. Well, I can't do that. Paul did. He dealt with it. The Passion says this: shouldn't this heartbreaking scandal bring you to your knees in tears, you must remove the offender from among you. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, we know that we all have knowledge. And knowledge what? Puffs up, but love edifies. Have you ever met people that will tell you how smart they are? And they keep going on and on and on and on, how much knowledge they have. Nothing wrong with knowledge, people. Not a thing wrong with knowledge. Thank God for knowledge. But when that becomes the importance of who you are instead of who God is, there's a problem. And so knowledge puffs up. Now, this is why he said this. Look at the Passion. How easily we get puffed up over our opinions, but love builds up the structure of our new life. We get puffed up about our opinions. And sometimes people in the Corinthian church were fighting over their opinions. They were fighting back and forth because they wanted to prove a point, and if they didn't get the point across, then there was problems. And you've met people like that, that they just know more than you do, and they probably do. But it means that they are going to flaunt it, they're going to push it, and they're going to let you know how much they know. Okay. So Paul was letting us know that love does not behave in a prideful, arrogant, haughty, superior, snooty, snobbish, or clannish manner. That's not how love behaves. All right, number three. Love, charity, does not behave itself unseemly. It's an old word. You notice how I skipped that? It's an old word that means to act in an unbecoming, inappropriate manner. Okay? It suggests a person who is tactless and thoughtless. You ever met those people? They don't have any tact whatsoever. And thoughtless. Sometimes they don't care what they say. They just let it go. That's not what we do. We learn to control some what we feel, not speak it out. And that is where we need the Holy Spirit, amen? Because sometimes we want to give them a piece of our mind. And sometimes that's not a good thing. We become angry. Anger's not a sin, but it's what you do with that anger. You have a choice what you do with it. Jesus was angry, but he didn't sin. Now let's look at this. It also expresses the notion of a person who's careless and inconsiderate of others. Both their actions and words tend to be rude. There's some rude people out there. Don't be rude. Amen. There's enough of those people out there. They're rude, disrespectful, and discourteous. And it exhibits bad manners in the way they deal with people. I've met some rude people. They're not nice. They're disrespectful. And none of us should be disrespected. None of us. We need to respect and honor one another. That's what the Bible says. Honor and prefer one another above yourselves. And love honors and prefers others above themselves, whether right or wrong. This person's language is harsh, it's brutal, revealing that this person is uncaring, insensitive, and unkind. In short, we would say this person acts ugly. How many have ever met people like that? How many say the Lord's working on me? Because we all go into that. We do. But that's not who we are. Amen? We do it. We do it, but that's not what God wants. That's not what God's looking for. Paul is saying love is not rude and discourteous. It's not careless or thoughtless, nor does it carry on in a fashion that would be considered insensitive to others. Wow. That's what Paul's saying. Look at Colossians 1:10. That you may walk and live and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord. Now, if we're going to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, that means that's got some choices that I have to make and how I'm going to respond. Huh. How many know the Holy Spirit's working in us? Boy, I remember my former days as a Christian. Even as a Christian. Woo. But God was, he takes his people and he refines us. He takes those things out of our lives and he works on us and gets us to a place that we become more like Jesus every day. And it's not that none of us have ever dealt with these areas. It's just that we know who we are and there's a higher road and there's a higher love, and it's called agape love. It's called God's love. And we don't think about this from day to day. I don't, but now I try to think, okay, Lord, what's the higher road? What's the higher road in this situation that I'm dealing with? We know what the higher road is. Is sometimes maybe I have to keep my mouth shut. Don't say it. I got to tell myself, don't you say it. It's just right on the tip, isn't it? And you just want to say it, but you know you can't and you shouldn't. Amen. And so we begin to check ourselves. And, it, you know, I'm not kidding you. It gets easier if we do that. Because sometimes habits are really hard to break. But it says, manner of the Lord, fully pleasing to him and desiring to please him in all things. So if we desire to please the Lord and be pleasing to him, there's some things we just don't say and we just don't do. Amen. I can't have my way all the time. I've got to learn to let go and let God and let somebody else. Amen. It's that simple. The Passion says, we pray that you would walk in the ways of true righteousness, pleasing God in every good thing you do. Not only you do, but a part of your doing is saying. And a part of your saying is doing. So Paul brings this in. These three things in, and you think about this. The Corinthian church, God loved the Corinthian church, but they were the most carnal people that Paul wrote about in that whole book, besides some of the Romans. But the Corinthian church, they had the gifts of the Spirit. They had all this stuff, and yet they think they're super spiritual. God says that we need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you in due time. Lord, you're the exalter, so I humble myself under your mighty hand. I don't have to prove a point to anybody. I don't have to make myself look good to anybody. All the one I have to please is the one that we serve. Amen? We don't have to prove a point to anybody. We don't have to show our credentials and how much we know. Push our credentials of who we are. And we find ourselves sometimes doing that because we've all done it. Let me tell you this. When you get around a bunch of preachers, I have to really learn to keep my mouth shut. Love them to pieces, but this, I'm telling you, I've been in some wild things where these guys were so far above that you couldn't even hardly talk to them. Terry, you know what I'm talking about. You've seen it. I mean, they were way up here. You were down here. And they make you feel that way. They make their congregations feel that way. And I've been at meetings with pastors that have been awesome meetings, that they let their hair down and they begin to share their feelings and share their heart. And you know, I went to a meeting one time, and we were talking about all this stuff. And that was a time I was really hurting. And I said, you know what, guys? I said, come on. Let's quit all the pretense. The reason why we're here, if we can't talk about these things and we can't pray for each other and we can't talk about it, I said, why are we here? Because we need each other. That's the same in a church. If we can't talk with each other and we can't share with each other and pray for each other, what hope do we have? But you know why we do those things? Because of insecurity. Sometimes we're not secure in the Lord enough to trust Him that He's more than anything. He's more than enough. But we do these things and we begin to break. Paul did it, but Paul did it in a good way. All these people were jacking their jaws about how great they are. And Paul said, you want to compare stories with stories and scars with scars? I've been shipwrecked 3 times, left in the deep, robbed by robbers. And he goes through the whole list of everything that he went through. You want to see my credentials? And so he shares his credentials, and I guarantee it shut those people up and say, well, whoa. Pharisee of the Pharisees. Law, kept the law, killed Christians. Went down the whole list and explained it to them. Was Paul boasting? No. He was sharing credentials of who he really was and what God did for him. And sometimes we do that in a different manner because we feel like they got one over on us and I'm going to get one over on you. Amen. I've done it before with other ministers. They're talking all this hype and all these things of all the accomplishments, and I find myself going in there, oh, okay. Well, did you guys ever do this, and go out and this? Have you ever been through this, that? Next thing you know, you're comparing stories, and you're going, what was the reason? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Because when God sees you, you don't have to prove a point. He sees righteousness, glory. He sees honor. He sees a king, a priest, a prophet in you. You carry the king, priest, and prophet in your life. He sees those in your life. And so Paul boasted. He said, but you know what? I'm not going to boast about this because you might think I'm more higher than I really walk it out to be. Pretty good. If we see that we have fallen short of the high-level love God wants us to possess, and He wants us to exhibit in our lives, people, it's time for us to go back to the Lord and, you know, talk to Him about it. Say, Lord, I'm struggling in this area. I'm struggling in this area in love. I'm short-tempered. I'm this, I'm that, you know, and we have so many things that we guard ourselves. Never stop going to Him, people, until you know that you're walking continually in that high level of love that He wants to demonstrate in every one of our lives. That's all we can do is depend on the Lord to bring us through. Lord, help us to walk in love. Let the Holy Spirit remind us. Are we going to mess up? Yeah, we're going to miss it. We're going to mess up. I'm going to say something stupid. We're all going to say something stupid at certain times. But you know what? Do we quit? No. We say, you know what? Pastors talked about love. Lord, bring this to their remembrance as much as to mine. Pastor talked about love. Don't be haughty. Don't be snooty. Don't be rude. And when we begin to do that, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will help us. And he will help us grow. And then people will see our lives and they'll look at it and go, why don't you just get messed up? Why don't you get bent out of shape like you used to? Because love's working. Love's working. I'm walking in agape love. Love's working on me. Well, you don't do this, don't do that. Love's working. Love's working in my life. It's got to be God. Love's working in my life. Amen. Amen. Keith, you got a song to close with? We're going to close with a song, Worship the Lord. Is this okay, you guys? Did this help? I know I'm learning to, I'm liking this. Because the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on me all the time and going, okay. But it's something that we all need more of. Lord, we need your love. We need your compassion. We need your mercy. Let's worship the Lord before we close.
I want to be where you are. I want to know, Lord, who you are. So when you call my name, I say to you, here I am. I'm listening, Lord, speak to me. I wanna see how you see. Change my heart, Lord. Make me holy. If there's anything in my life doesn't honor you now, I'm listening, Lord. Speak to me. Wanna be where you are, Lord. I wanna know, Lord, who you are. When you call my name, say to you, here I am. Listening, Lord, speak to me. I want to see how you see. Change my heart, Lord, make me holy. If there's anything in my life doesn't honor you now, I'm listening, Lord, speak to me.
Before we leave, Lori, come on up here. We're going to pray for Cheyenne. Cheyenne's in Africa, and we're going to pray and lift her up, pray protection over her. Amen. And she's going to be, Lori, how long?
Coming back 26.
26. So she's been there a week, so let's keep her lifted up in prayer, okay? Let's pray. Father, we come together and we pray for Cheyenne. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege and honor that you've given her to go over there and to do what you called her to do. Lord, to have divine connections with people. Even if it's through a different avenue, in a different way, Lord, we thank you for divine connections. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you will bring people to her and bring those divine connections to her. And those people will come and they will begin to share Jesus and Christ with each other, Lord. Father, we just pray your divine protection over her. We thank you that the angels surround her and are with her during this time. Bring her back safely, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing in her life. Father, you're changing her from glory to glory. And Father, we pray for Lori. We thank you for blessings on her, breakthrough in every area. Father, we thank you for the strength in her to believe and to go forth in your might and your power. So Father, this morning we thank you for this place that you've given us to worship. We thank you for each other. And Lord, we ask you right now that your agape love would just fuse through us to be all that we can be to serve others. Lord, when we find ourselves in a predicament, help us to listen to your spirit, to listen to your voice and begin to make choices and decisions based on that, based on your word. And Lord, we just speak shalom over this place, shalom over your people. We pray blessings and honor and glory in their homes and their marriages and their children and around their houses. Lord, we just thank you. And we give you praise and we give you all the honor. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. 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 Give the Lord praise.